you believe it or not. We have begun a sermon series on truth that we are calling The Truth is in Here. The truth is in the Bible. It's in contrast to the popular TV series, The X-Files, which was based on The Truth is Out There. We kicked it off 2 weeks ago as we looked at the truth about creation. And then we followed up last week with a look at the truth about Satan. If you are not here for either of those messages, or if you'd just like to hear them again, they are available online. We will continue this morning with a message, The Truth, about the Bible. I mean, if we're going to hold to the truth is in here, we have to ask, why should we believe the Bible is the truth? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The church today is up against something, a challenge that we didn't face 50 years ago, a time when many of us were growing up. When inviting people to Jesus 50 years ago, you could assume something about the average person in America. You could assume that the American people had accepted the Bible as God's Word, and that it was meant to be read and to be understood and to be applied to our lives. 36 years ago, President Ronald Reagan signed into law an act of Congress proclaiming 1983 to be the year of the Bible. The law described the Bible as the Word of God and said there is a national need to study and apply its teachings. Of course, there were exceptions, but in general, it was accepted that way. If you could show someone the Bible said something, that settled it. How many of you remember, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? Remember that? It was on bumper stickers, we were writing it on our book covers, we were sharing it with our friends. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's not true anymore. It's still the best seller in the world. And yet for years, it has come under increased attack. Many people, and sadly, many churches, have come to doubt whether the Bible is authoritative and trustworthy. Opponents of the Bible believe it was written solely by humans, that it was written in a time of ignorance and superstitions and cruelty. And because the writers of the Bible lived in an enlightened era, the book contains many errors and harmful teachings. The Bible isn't just less accepted today. There is a growing movement to do away with the Bible. Its teachings, from creationism to prayer to eternal life and death, have been challenged in institutions of higher education and in the courts. It has been removed from our schoolrooms, our courtrooms, and our workplaces. The Bible has been characterized as full of hate speech, being non-inclusive, and those who follow it have been labeled intolerant, homophobic, anti-this, anti-that, racist, sexist, and deplorable. For 40 years, Gallup has been asking Americans its view of the Bible. Over that period of 40 years, there has been an interesting trend. While more people now say they believe the Bible is God's inspired Word, the same group of people also say it isn't meant to be taken literally. That's like saying, well, I know God said, but. That's like when I had company over to our house one evening. Barbie had just fixed dinner for a couple, moved to our area, thinking about joining the church. And so we were entertaining them in our home that night. And afterwards, we'd gone in the living room. We're chit-chatting about church, about everything else. And I noticed it was getting long in time. And Stephen was in the living room with us there. And I said, Stephen, honey, it's time for you to go get ready for bed. And he just sat there. And a few minutes later, we had talked a little bit more. And I said, Stephen, it's bedtime. You need to get going now. And the fellow who was visiting with us looked at Stephen, kind of chuckled, said, "Whoa, Stephen, that sounds like you better get going to bed." And Stephen said with a straight face, "Oh, he doesn't mean it." And then he added, "He says that all the time." Well, he'd thrown the gauntlet down, what can I tell you? So I had to jump up and show him I meant it. Never did see that couple after that. No, I'm just kidding. But that's like saying, God, I know this is your inspired word, but I know you don't really mean it. You don't mean for us to take that literally. You don't really mean for us to get up right now and go to bed. You say those things all the time. Another poll showed that 48% of Americans believe that there is no one set of values that is right. 7 out of 10 Americans, 70%, now say religion is losing its influence in American life. Something about the way people regard the Bible is keeping them from accepting its direction for their lives. In his book, Facing Reality, Oswald Chambers wrote, "The Bible treats you like human life does, roughly. No other written work places on me and you the demands that the Bible places on us. Oh, they make demands, but none of them suggest that the outcome has eternal consequences." This book is asking to affect my life dramatically. Should I let it? Why should I believe this book, the Bible, is from God and deserves to direct the way I live? I want to give you 5 reasons to believe the Bible is the Word of God. First, because of its scientific accuracy. The Bible never claims to be a science textbook. Nevertheless, over the centuries, the Bible has been rigorously tested for scientific accuracy, and it has never failed. Every Christian should have great respect for science. However, some well-meaning Christians take the position that science and the Bible are relentless enemies. And the two sides appear to be locked in endless conflict. And some scientists regard the Bible as an antiquated collection of myths and primitive nonsense. Both sides could use some humility. In Greek mythology, the Titans were fighting against Olympians, Zeus, Prometheus, and Hades. And when the Olympians won the war, they punished their enemies, and Atlas was condemned to stand at the western edge of the earth and hold the sky up on his shoulders along with the earth. Really? Ancient science concluded the earth was flat. But the Bible says, "He spread out the northern skies over empty space and suspends the earth over nothing." Job 26:7. How did Job know the earth just hung in space? Before the age of modern astronomy and telescopes and space travel, how did he know that? The scientists of Isaiah's day didn't know the topography of the earth, but Isaiah said, He, God, sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. How did Isaiah know that God sat upon the circle of the earth? Its scientific accuracy is mind-blowing. Secondly, because of its historical accuracy. Christianity is a historic faith. That is, it's rooted in history and recorded in the Scriptures. Therefore, if the events actually transpired in history as the Bible records, there should be some archaeological evidence to support the claims of the Bible. One should be able to literally go dig up the past and see if it confirms the Scriptures. And this is exactly what one finds when exploring the archaeological artifacts. Also, listen to this side of it. If one can dig up confirmation of the biblical history, then it also follows that one could dig up evidence which contradicts the history and details of the Bible. The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls is clearly one of the greatest archaeological finds, as they give invaluable evidence and confirmation to the reliability of the Old Testament Scriptures. If there was a global flood and all people are descendants of Noah and his sons, then one would expect to find flood traditions and stories in different cultures all over the world. The Bible comes out with that story for us, and there are over 200 flood traditions in cultures all over the world. Cultures who don't have a Bible, cultures who barely have a language, and those that do talk about this great flood all over the world. The Bible makes reference to the Hittite people. The Hittites, Jebusites, all those people that they had to run out of the promised land before Israel could go in and take it up. Jebusites, Gergesites, Hittites, Hivites, Budlites. The Bible makes reference to the Hittite people in the book of Genesis. Scholars found no evidence of the Hittites outside the Old Testament, and so concluded the Old Testament must be in error. And then, archaeologists began excavating in the early 20th century and discovered the large Hittite capital in modern Turkey. Thousands of clay tablets were found confirming the Hittite people. Now the Hittites, whose existence was previously doubted by historians, are well documented by thousands of clay tablets confirming the biblical historical details. Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 1 describes Sargon, king of Assyria, capturing Ashdod. Now those, unless you're familiar with that part of the Scripture, those names mean a little bit of nothing. But because there were no other ancient writings or records that mentioned Sargon, skeptics assumed the Bible was in error, that he did not exist. Then in the mid-19th century, Sargon's palace was discovered. It was discovered a few miles northeast of Nineveh, and an inscription was found in referencing the conquest of his country by Ashdod. Tiny details confirming biblical history. Its historical accuracy is almost unbelievable. So unbelievable, you have to believe it. Numerous other archaeological discoveries could be cited which give witness to the reliability of the Old Testament. And yes, 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 the New Testament has been verified as a reliable historical document time and time again by numerous archaeological finds. You can believe it is the Word of God from its historical accuracy. Thirdly, You can believe it because of its unity. There is an incredible unity to the Bible. The Bible is not just one book. It's a library of 66 books. It was written over a period of nearly 1,600 years by at least 40 men. Written in 13 countries, on 3 different continents, in 3 different languages by people of all professions. Yet they all come together to write one story. And that story does not contradict itself theologically, morally, ethically, doctrinally, scientifically, historically, or any other way. My wife is a huge reader, as several of you are as well. I know because you keep swapping books with Barbie. But there was a particular series, and I don't know the guy's name who wrote them, but then he died in the middle of writing his last one. Who was that? Who? Vince Flynn. First cousin to the Flintstones. Vince Flynn died in the middle of writing the last one. But somebody took up that work to finish it. And just in that little difference, you could tell, though he tried to be as much and capture the language and the imagery and the details and the writing and the style, the method, all that, that Vince did, you could tell it wasn't him. That's just one in the middle. Doesn't fit up. Doesn't match up. And yet, 40 writers, 1,600 years, 13 countries, 3 different continents, 3 different languages, and it fits perfectly into one story. It has one great theme from beginning to end, redemption. It tells of God's love for mankind and God redeeming man and bringing him back to himself even after man had rebelled against him. Its unity is impeccable. Fourth, you can believe it because of its accurate prophecies. When you read the prophecies of the Bible, you simply have to stand back in awe. We've mentioned before there are over 300 precise prophecies just about Jesus in the Old Testament, and they are all fulfilled in the New Testament. We shared the statistics of that probability. The probability of all these prophecies being fulfilled by chance and all turn out to be just an unimaginable number that could actually happen. But it did. There are other prophecies as well. Prophecies about dates and events and kings and kingdoms and places. And all of them have proven true one way or another. And there are yet prophecies remaining. And I'm betting that every one of them will become true. And finally, you can believe it because of its endurance. The Bible is not a book of the months. It's the book of the ages. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And it has. Mark and Matthew records Jesus' amazing verification about the preservation of the Scriptures. Heaven and earth, Jesus said, will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. He believed God's word was indestructible. In Luke chapter 16, he said, it's easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. No book has ever had as much opposition as the Bible. Men have laughed at it, scorned it, burned it, made laws against it, but the Word of God has endured. It has survived. And it is as applicable today as it was yesterday, and it will be that way tomorrow. It's so majestically deep that scholars could swim and never touch the bottom. And yet so wonderfully shallow that a little child can plunge in without fear of being drowned. What's our takeaway? Jesus said it, and it's recorded in John 17:17. Your word is truth. Therefore, we can believe it, we need to study it, and we need to live it. You can believe it for all those reasons and many more. Those were just five. We need to study it to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly applying the word of truth. We need to live it. You've all heard the saying, and some have heard the songs. You're the only Bible some will ever read. We need to live it. And if I were to add one more, say we need to share it. We need to share it. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that all Scripture is inspired or God-breathed and is profitable for all of those good things of teaching and doctrine, even for correction. I believe the Bible is God's Word. Father God, this morning, we don't have to look too far to see just how much of an attack has been and is being made on the Word of God. Truth hurts. And when something hurts us, we tend to push back. And when the truth of your word says that all have sinned, we have to say, what, you mean me? Yes, you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we don't like that. But it's true. And when the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by Him, we don't like that. That's intolerant. It's just not right. Because God loves everybody. God loves the world. Yep. There's only one way to it. But we don't like that. We were taught that it's green. And well, of course, it's changed. And we've been taught that it's blue. And the experts who have degrees in all these theories present so many cases, but they can't land on a truth. And when we say that the Bible is the truth, Thy Word is truth, we want to push back against that. But Father, there are so many reasons to believe that the Bible is Your Word, that it is Your truth, that it is the message of Your love for us today. And that when it tells us to do things, it's because You love us. And when it tells us not to do things, it's because You love us. And when You invite us to obey it, it's because You love us. When You tell us to repent, to be baptized and wash away our sin. When You tell us that You will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us live this life for You, it's because You want us to live the best possible life ever. And when Your word says, I've gone for a little while, I'm going to prepare a place for You. And if I go, I will come back. And I'll receive You to myself, that where I am, You can be also. We can believe that. And it's comforting to know that that could be a thought that, well, You're gone now. Dad's gone off to work. We can do what we want to. No, because then Your word tells us, I'm not going to leave You alone. I'm going to send You the Counselor. I'm going to send You the Holy Spirit. And He will help you. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. Father, it's just overwhelming. But that's the way the truth is. And the funny thing about the truth is it's true whether you believe it or not. But you give us a chance this morning, Father, to choose what we believe. Do we believe that the Bible is your word? Or do we believe the Bible was inspired in spots and we can pick which spots we like? We can choose what suits us? Or do we face the fact? The balloon is red. That's the truth. Forgive us our sins and help us, Father, to follow you closely. In Jesus' name, amen.